Have you seen When Harry Met Sally?
Yeah, I don't remember.
He doesn't remember much. We've already established that this morning.
My jokes are funnier if you understand what I'm saying. It's not funny when I have to explain the joke.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast.
Woo!
We are exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
Hey, Patrick.
And Katie Phillips.
Hello.
Man, this is surreal. A little behind the podcast magic here. This is our first recording of 2019.
Hey.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so we are back after a hiatus together in the studio.
Back in the studio. I like that. It's been like 3 weeks since we've recorded a new episode, I think. It was before Christmas. Because, Patrick, you were down in Peru for a while on a mission trip with some of our college students, and I was doing a little family vacationing to see some people up in the Midwest. Yes. And Katie was hanging out, being awesome, holding down the fort here in Texas.
Right. And what?
Yeah. So welcome back, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is
so
exciting.
I'm glad to have you all back with me. Yeah, I got to dust off the old podcasting shoes and get ready to go.
Well, today we have a special treat for all our listeners. We have another
interview.
New Year's treat. Another interview. We did one a few months ago with Nicole Puig-Hertz about race and how we as Christians approach racial issues.
Yep.
But today we have Matt and Jen Kinsvater. Katie and I are going to be talking to them later, and they are employees of Luther Hill, which is a camp that our congregation supports not only with youth, children, retreats, but also financially.
Yep.
That we're big, very much involved at Luther Hill. And we're going to talk a lot about camp ministry.
Yeah.
Yes, and outdoors ministry. So all of us have varying degrees of camp ministry experience. All three of us.
That's absolutely true.
Yes. Katie, I think you have the least
amount. I have the least amount
of no judgment.
Camp ministry experience.
Yeah. So tell me real quick, where were you? Where did you do camp ministry at?
So I was a camp counselor at Luther Hill, which is where Matt and Jen are from. And I worked the summer of my freshman year in college. After my freshman year in college, I should say, in 2001.
Wow.
That's a long time ago. Shows my age.
You were working when you were like 7 years old?
That's right.
Yes.
She was Doobie Hauser going to college.
Yes, right. I get it. Yeah.
Nope.
That's, all right. So, Katie, you did one summer
at camp
at Luther Hill.
Did you camp as a kid?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I went to confirmation camp. So, 2 summers of 1 week long camp at Luther Hill as well.
Awesome.
And then we went to family camp last year with our congregation.
Yeah.
So that's like really the first time I was really back at camp at Luther Hill again. And then, but then I got to bring my kids with me, which was really a neat experience, just watching them enjoy the same place that I love. So
that's a cool thing. And Pastor David, you also have some camp experience,
but I went to a weird
camp that's not in Texas.
Well, a camp that's not in Texas. I don't know about weird camps. So I went to a Lutheran Memorial Camp up just north of Columbus, Ohio. It's part of LOMO, or Lutheran Outdoor Ministries in Ohio, which oversees a couple of different camps. And when I was a kid, they had one that was like a traveling camp, and so they would go to different camp sites and just host a week of camp in different areas. Mm-hmm. And so I went to that as a kid for a couple years. And then I went to Lutheran Memorial Camp as a kid, the late middle school. 1 year as a camper, I got to do a bike trip. So we left from a camp called Moana, and we biked like 18 to 30 miles every day and did Bible studies and went like all over Northern Ohio. And that was it was a lot of fun and kind of a crazy different way to do ministry and camping together as well.
Mm.
And then I went on staff as a college kid. I was on staff as a counselor for 4 summers and as leadership for a couple summers and as maintenance for a summer before I left for internship for seminary. And just kind of always deep connections to camp and being involved up there.
Great. And I also have camp experience.
Yeah.
I think I have the most.
You do. Yes. So, hands down.
Yes.
We all kneel at the feet of Patrick's wisdom and experience.
I did 5 summers when I was in college. I took an extra year of college. So,
victory lap. That's right. Yes.
Me and most doctors. Although I did not leave with a diploma. But extra year, no diploma. It's really the way you want to do it. And so I did 5 summers as a summer staffer. And then before coming here to Lord of Life, I had done 5 years as a full-time staffer.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those years I was spent as the summer camp director. So I was running our summer camp program mm-hmm. at Camp Lone Star. That's my camp here in Texas.
Which is actually like really close to Luther Hill.
It is. Yeah. It is in the same city as
Luther Hill. Of all the yes. camp joints in all the world. And yes. yeah.
Jets and Sharks situation right here with Katie and I.
I don't even know what that is.
That's West Side Story.
Yeah, come on.
Wow, Katie.
Get some culture, Katie.
Mom brain is in full effect.
It's a real thing.
Yeah. But we're going to talk, before we get to the interview, we just want to share a few things kind of about our camp experience, kind of some stories or why camp matters to us
mm-hmm.
and why outdoors ministry should matter to everyone.
Yeah.
Even if you're not 8 years old, going to summer camp for mm-hmm. the first time. It's a beautiful experience, either as a staff person, a camper, a retreat seasoner, or even a supporter of what it looks like to support the ministry of camp. Camp is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
So we'll talk a little bit about kind of how we experience camp. Now, we didn't really talk about this, but who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Go for it.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the great stories that I have from when I was a camper at Lutheran Memorial Camp, I would have been like 8 or 9 years old at the time. And we had a program called Earth Keepers. And so we spent the whole week, kind of intentionally learning about how to care for the earth and doing Bible studies around that. And so that was kind of our theme for the week that we were doing. But we had a counselor who was on kind of like a counselor exchange program where he was from the Ukraine and he was working in the United States for the summer. As part of something that the National Lutheran Church was doing to bring other people into the United States and to have them be counselors. And so he was my counselor for the year. And so that was like my first experience as a kid of getting to experience someone else's culture really up close and personal. And I remember still to this day, it was like the third night that we were there. And every night our counselor would leave the cabin and would go to the bathroom and would come back. And we were like, it was always after we were kind of like ready for bed, and we're all just, in the cabin. Someone mm-hmm. else was on our porch, so we were safe and everything like that. But right. it was always like, where is he going? What's he
right.
doing?
Sure.
So like the third night we finally asked, what are you always doing when you go? And he said, oh, I go and wash my feet every night. And we're like, 8 and 9 year olds, like, why on earth do you go wash your feet? Like, we don't even want to shower. Why would you sure. bother yeah. washing your feet? And so he like talked to us about, for him, the both spiritual and cultural practice of what it meant for him to be able to wash his feet and to make sure that his feet were clean every day, and that, there were people who couldn't do that, and that was really important to him because it kept his feet healthy, and then also the spiritual connections to Jesus washing feet and remembering that. And so, like, as an 8, 9 year old, going then for the last 3 nights of camp, and all of us trying to get our feet up on the sink counter so that we could wash our feet with our camp counselor, experience
really
this
cool. yeah.
together. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, it was like, it kind of encapsulates this idea of I'm being taken completely out of my comfort zone, mm-hmm. even as an 8 or 9 year old. Mm-hmm. I'm away from my parents, away from my family, and I'm getting this incredible new experience that opens me up to new things that God is doing in my life and in the world around me, and new ways of experiencing God that I never would have thought of. And I don't personally take up the practice of washing my feet every night now mm-hmm. because I have pretty good hygiene and I shower on a regular basis, unlike my 8 year old self. But there's a whole new world that was opened up.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, that is neat.
So Katie, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about kind of your counselor experience.
Yes.
And what that looked like for you, maybe yes. in broader terms.
Right. I don't really have like a specific story to share, but I just know I love the idea that on a Sunday when the kids were dropped off, I had no idea who I had a list of names
sure.
of the kids that were going to be under my care in my cabin with me that I was going to be leading through this week. And every Sunday it was a different group. But to me, it's amazing that I just had this list of names, had no clue who these kids were, had these kids come in, all these girls, excited to be at camp, come in on Sunday. You were having, earlier in the week, you're having these very superficial, surface-level conversations mm-hmm. with them, just trying to get to know each other. But then by Wednesday night at devotion, you're sitting around a candle in your cabin, and they're, like, pouring their little souls out, mm-hmm. and, like, all of this stuff that is so big for them, and they're trusting you with all of this information. And just 3 days ago, you had no clue who these kids were.
Yeah.
But the impact that you're leaving with them come Wednesday, Thursday, and then when they have to leave on Friday, everybody's crying and we're all so sad that we're leaving, and it's just this emotional goodbye, You know, and then you pray that next summer, oh, is my counselor going to be there again? Mm-hmm. You know, that mm-hmm. the next summer you go back. Is it the same people? You know, who's going to be there? Sure. You know, whatever.
And you, so weren't, I just, you weren't there when they came back.
I was not there when they came back.
You know, but God was.
God was there. That's probably more important. Yeah.
I was not. And I did not come back because I hated it. I truly, like, it was by far one of the best summers of my life.
Yeah.
Being a camp counselor, just, I needed to take summer school. I was doing a 6-year degree in 4 years. So, you know, there were other things that...
Yeah. I was doing a 4-year degree in 5 years. I didn't get a diploma.
Patrick gets it. He knows. Yeah,
I'm there.
Yeah. So idea. I was just taking summer school classes and whatever. No, so I
think that's a great point, though. Like, even if you only are a camp counselor mm-hmm. for a summer, mm-hmm. like, you know, being a camper can be life-changing. Being a camp counselor can be life-changing in an entirely different way.
Absolutely.
And can prepare you literally for any career that you want to pursue.
Right.
Like, I, any college kid I talk to, I tell them all, find a way to be a camp counselor yes. somewhere for a yep. summer.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're going into medical school, into law school, business, if you're going to go into ministry, if you're going to be a teacher, if you just want to, you know, live in a van down by the river. I don't care what you're doing. Being a camp counselor will prepare you
and
for
I'll
that.
Tell you, too, not only do you build these relationships, these relationships with these children over the course of a summer, but your camp staff that you work
oh,
with.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I mean, friendships that I still have to this day mm-hmm. and memories with them that are just funny, insane, crazy, mm-hmm. and also, you know, spirit-filled and whatnot. So, and yeah. still being friends with them to this day is...
Yeah, in the same way the kids are coming to camp and having their lives changed by bonding mm-hmm. together and going through these intense emotional experiences mm-hmm. with one another, you are doing that
yes.
with your own peers,
yes.
you know, and but over a much longer period of time.
Right.
It's really a neat process to watch.
Yep.
Well, I have a story, too,
yeah.
about camp.
That's good.
So I was never a camper.
Okay.
I just, 2 weeks before camp started, at the end of my freshman year of college, I had a guy who I kind of knew come up to me and said, "What are you doing this summer?" And I said, "Nothing." And he said, "Well, Camp Lone Star just had a spot open up. Would nice. You want? Do you want to come be a counselor?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Shh, why not?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not doing anything else." And so I was there at camp 2 weeks later, this place I had never been to before. Really neat experience. So I did not really know what I was getting into. And my first cabin was a weekend cabin. We had weekend camp and for younger children.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like Friday to Sunday. You know, and so I had 5 5-year-old boys
Ooh.
Under my care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And so these boys show up into my cabin, and I'm like, I don't really know what to do yeah. with 5 5-year-old boys. And we're just sitting in the cabin, and, you know, I'm like, what do you guys like to do? Pokemon? I don't know. I don't even know what that is, but you guys probably like that. Power Rangers, you know? And so I think, oh, I know what these boys would love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, like, horseplay. Like, they're
Excellent.
At camp. They're excited.
Yeah.
Horseplay is going to be the key to unlocking yeah. their greatest weekend ever.
Horseplay always ends in tragedy, my grandfather always said.
we'll see how this story goes then. And so I'm, like, picking up these boys and throwing them on the bunks
oh,
on the bed. Uh-huh. And they're giggling and laughing. And I'm like, man, I've unlocked the keys and secrets to camp
yeah.
counseling. I'm basically a prodigy yeah. at this, you
yeah.
know? I just get it, you know? So these boys are on there. And they all, like, jump on me and tackle me and throw me on this bed. And we're all giggling and laughing together. And this one boy named Steven, who is a little chubby little boy who had a bit of a lisp, was like, "Counsel Patwick, I'm gonna fart on you." And I was like, "Yeah, I'll fart on you too, Steven. I don't care." Like, because it's so funny. And this other kid named Brian, this little red-faced, white-haired boy,
uh-huh.
was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna pee on you." And I was like, "Yeah, that's hilarious." And he's like, "No, I'm gonna do it." And I look over, and his pants are down. And he's aiming. And so this is the first time I've ever been with kids. And this is definitely the first time I've ever to be like, okay, now I have to unlock how does Counselor Patrick discipline children. And so I'm like, Steven, or Brian, you will not pee on me. And Brian lights up, and I jump off this bed.
Oh, that
and
was a challenge.
Knock kids off this bed. They fall on the ground. And Brian peed all over this mattress.
Yeah. Nice, Brian. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. And every time we interacted with another cabin or another group of people, they loved telling them what happened. They went up to everybody and were like, Brian peed the bed! Like, screaming that out. And all these things. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so one of the things we did at camp is kind of like a daily wrap up where like the kids would do like a skit or a song or do these things. And they wanted to sing a song and do a speech at the end. So Steven got up there at the end of the first night and told the whole camp about how Brian peed on the bed. And it was so funny. And I'm just like, oh gosh. Quickly have I gone from I'm the camp prodigy to I have no idea what's happening anymore. I've lost control immediately. And so the camp director tells me, like, hey, he probably should not say that when they give their own speech to, like, the parents. Because we do, like, a closing program.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'll tell him. Because that makes sense. Right.
You know? Good call.
So I tell Steven, who was giving our speech, like, hey, don't talk about that. That's our story, right. not the world's story. And so he gets up there to do a speech on Sunday in front of all the parents. And he says, I want to tell you what happened in our cabin, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. Oh gosh.
That's so much worse. Yeah.
What is great is over a decade later, when I was a director of summer camp, I was doing interviews and I was at Texas A&M interviewing this kid and I'm looking at him and we're going over the thing and I'm like, hey, did you go to camp
no.
when you were a kid? And he's like, yeah, I've been going to camp since I was 5 years old. And I'm like,
No.
Was your best friend this kid named Willie? And he's like, oh yeah, Willie Ames. He was my best friend. And I was like, oh my gosh. I am sitting here interviewing this kid, Brian, who peed on the mattress.
Oh, did you hire? You had to have hired him.
Of course I hired that guy. I mean,
oh,
like,
my God.
I was like, this interview's over. You're hired. I mean, like,
that is awesome.
And I waited until the summer to tell that story to all the whole staff to reveal. And that kid was Brian and pointed at him to, like, be excited. And I brought out this mattress that I painted yellow. And I'm like, and here's your mattress, Brian. You know, like.
Oh, that is was awesome. He cool with it?
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Great
he was,
story.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that was my first camping experience.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And somehow that led to a partial career in camp ministry.
Right, and somehow they kept hiring you somehow, every summer.
I know. I tricked them.
That's awesome. And that's why Patrick works with youth.
Yeah.
Older children.
Right. That's why Patrick does not work with our 5-year-olds. But I think, you know, what's great about that is it clearly, I mean, it was kind of a traumatic / hilarious experience for you.
Yes.
But Brian clearly, like, remembered this forever. And, like, it started him on a path of life-changing opportunities to be a part of this ministry for years to come. And that's really, it's awesome.
Peeing on a mattress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's great just to have that experience of going to a place where this stranger, I mean, for you, we're talking about, Katie, like, your kids were strangers to you. You're a stranger to them as well.
Right.
And not only are the parents entrusting their treasured possessions to you, like, they are trusting you and trusting that this is a person that's going to take care of me, that's going to provide for me, that's going to comfort me and protect me. And over the course of the week, they see those fears or their doubts, like, validate, or they see those hopes come to fruition. And they see this person that they didn't know on Sunday become their mentor, this guiding figure this in their life, on their faith journey. And long after they may forget your name, they remember what you did and that experience and that what it looked like to be at camp. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's that planting seeds that, you know, we talk about scripturally all the time. Like, we don't get to see what fruit comes of that often. I'm not in touch with any of my old campers, but hopefully those seeds that we were planting, you know, God has continued to water.
You know, and I'll tell you, as a person, on a personal note, I remember going to camp when I was confirmation age, 7th, 8th grade, and being at camp and watching the girl who was in the front at every worship who was leading all the songs. Like, the one person that was, like, the singer.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to do that. And sure enough, the summer I worked at camp, I was the one girl that was leading most of the songs at where I was like, I've arrived.
So my problem is that I went to camp, and every time I heard someone get up and talk, I was like, I can do better than that.
Right.
As a pompous little 8-year-old, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, now I do that.
Oh, man. Yeah, so...
All right.
There you go.
All right. Well, we'll transition right now into our interview with Matt and Jen. All right. Well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. Today, we have a special treat. We're interviewing two people who work at Luther Hill. So myself and Katie are here listening in with Matt and Jen Kinsvater. And real quick, what is your job title or your description of what you do at Luther Hill?
I am the executive director at Luther Hill. My key areas would be overseeing that, make sure that we're living out our mission as a camp, managing the staff and helping with fundraising for the ministry.
This is Jen, and I'm director of programs, and I get to serve in a way that helps administer the goodness of camp to kids and people of all ages, really, but then also help to shape the culture. And I'm also an ELCA pastor, so I get to administer word and sacrament and go out into congregations as well.
Awesome. Great. So let me ask, how did you get involved in camp ministry?
Well, the first time I got involved in camp ministry was as a summer counselor back in the summer of 94. And that was my dad pushing me to not come back home and live at college.
Sure.
At home. Yeah. He was like, I did this. I think you'd have fun with this as well. And so I ended up working at Camp Chrysalis in Kerrville for 4 summers as a camp counselor. And then in full time, I started at Luther Hill in 2001. And how I ended up there was a pastor friend of my dad said, hey, Luther Hill is hiring. I didn't know you could do camp full time.
Sure.
And I was like, hey, I had fun when I was in college. Yeah. Hey, might as well do it full time. And now 17 years later, still there. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I actually grew up in LaGrange, and so Luther Hill was in my backyard, and I started going there as a camper, as an alpha camper, as soon as I could, and then started working there in the summer as a lifeguard and then a store manager, and then decided I needed to go experience the world, so I went to a camp in Wisconsin to work for a while, and then a camp in Virginia as well for a little while.
Experiencing the world, going to Wisconsin.
Yes. Before Wisconsin, I never knew the goodness of cheese curds.
Okay.
And so it was a revelation, to say the least.
Right. Yeah. I'm a camp guy too. All three members of our faith formation team here at Loyal Life have camp background of varying levels. I think I have the most.
Yes.
In that I did 5 summers when I was in college and then also did full-time camp ministry before coming here. So I get the... or at least can somewhat empathize with the highs and lows of what it means to do full-time camping ministry. Yeah. And probably a similar story to you, Matt. It was like, summer's here. What else am I going to? I don't want to go home. Yeah. So what other options are there? Yeah. And that led to camp. So so I think a big question that we have around outdoors ministry or camping ministry is kind of, why does camp matter? Why should these be things that we either send our kids to, engage in ourselves, or support financially? Why is it camp special?
I believe camp special because it's a place apart.
Okay.
We are part of the church family.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of us as the fun uncle or fun aunt of the church family.
Yeah.
So we're an opportunity. We shake up kids for a week at summer camp and then hand them back to the congregation to live out the rest of the 51 weeks of the year. But we give them a glimpse of what faith can look like in a different form.
Mm-hmm.
It could be in silly songs. It could be in a different songs, but still using the same pattern of worship so that we can tie these two worlds together. Just recently, our staff, I'm talking about adults and other folks, recently our staff was asking this question, why does outdoor ministry, or why does Luther Hill, what do? And we came to the conclusion that everybody deserves Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that looks like. Sabbath could be coming and sitting on a hammock and reading a book. It could be your church council getting away from the daily grind of things. It's one of the commandments that we need a place apart. We need a place to recharge. We need a place to have fun. Mm-hmm. And that's what camp provides. Camp provides a unique perspective of the church. I know growing up, I was blown away that there were Lutherans outside of Austin, that I met other Lutherans or other denominations at camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to realize that there's different faith mentors. There's studies that show that you need 5 different faith mentors besides your parents. And camp counselors are one of those, especially during summer camp. Mm-hmm. Camp matters because I think it's also a common thread through generations. Mm-hmm. That you can be at a place just with a 99-year-old, or I think our oldest person was a 90-year-old that did the high ropes course. The next person up would have been an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
So these shared experiences outside of the walls of the church.
Yeah. Yeah, when I worked at camp, one of our kind of values or goals was this idea of pattern interrupt. So I like that you have this idea of like it's separate or a unique experience mm-hmm. outside of your day-to-day or even your year-to-year worship. That you go and your life is different there, for lack mm-hmm. of a better word. You know?
And I'll tell you too, we take our kids to family camp. Our church does, Lord mm-hmm. of Life does. We do a whole retreat out at Luther Hill for the weekend. And being out there with my kids, you know, I mean, that's a very sacred place for me as is, but to bring my kids out there and experience a weekend away, we're not at home, we're not in our normal rut and routine of things, and to have them out there with me, it really does just break up your everyday pattern, and it gives you just a break and it rejuvenates you.
Yeah.
So I love it too. Sure. Yeah. That's my little piece of...
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if you've ever like worked at a summer camp, you'll even identify this, like you spend all summer in this environment. Mm-hmm. And then the week after camp, when you're back in real life, and I'm putting real life in quotes here, that it's just such a surreal experience mm-hmm. of like, what am I doing with my life anymore? Because
right.
it's like you came from this intense ministry experience, and now it's mm-hmm. like, how do I sit and watch television, which I didn't do for the last 3 months? You know, like, how does this happen? You know, like, and so that's a very... You know, again, like you've interrupted your patterns so much mm-hmm. that it's hard to sometimes go back to the same patterns that you've experienced before. And I think that can be a good spiritual, you know, shock to the system in a positive way. So it's both, from my perspective, both incredibly renewing and also incredibly can challenge us to step away from our lives and experience or re-examine what we've been doing mm-hmm. and how we've been living.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that we try to focus at Luther Hill about as well. And I think in any outdoor ministries, talking to our colleagues around the country, is not only is it what is experienced at that physical place when you're apart, but how can you equip or give gifts or tools mm-hmm. to go back?
Mm-hmm.
It's a blessing and a curse when a camper says, I can be myself at camp. How can we at camp equip them to be themselves back in the mm-hmm. real world?
I think one of the real gifts of camp is intentional community mm-hmm. in a prolonged way. We get to do that oftentimes on Sunday mornings and church experiences, but at camp you get a whole week or a whole weekend mm-hmm. of intentional community. And part of the really good thing about that is that you're paired with people that aren't necessarily of your choosing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to learn how to thrive and then also get along when things aren't mm-hmm. going as well, which as a culture, as a nation, we need help with that.
Sure.
How to talk to people when we don't necessarily agree or have a common background. And so I think that's an incredible gift of camp right now mm-hmm. too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's that idea of there's nothing happening by chance when you're in that camp environment. There's nothing that's, or not by chance, but like nothing happening accidentally mm-hmm. within that camp environment. Everything is very intentional, very guided towards certain goals and certain ideas, that you don't just get to sit around in laziness, maybe sitting around in relaxation, but it's not an apathy. That's never part of that camp experience. They're never supposed to be part of the camp experience. So I love that intentionality mm-hmm. that comes with camp. And so I definitely feel this, and Matt, you just mentioned this, that I connected with this idea of like kids saying I can be myself at camp. And how do they experience this long week of summer ministry or weekend away, or a summer of ministry, and how do they end up going back into their regular life? So you mentioned equipping them. So what does that equipping look like?
I think with our staff working with them and talking about them sharing experiences of their life. So the summer staff to be able to share what it was like for them in junior high or high school or even younger, of to see that model of that. I always joke with the summer staff that it'd be much easier for us to hire a bunch of older teachers who are off on their summer, but that they would not have the same impact as these 18 to 21 year olds mm-hmm. that are closer in age. They already have a foot in the door that some folks would not, and that they can talk to them, share those real life experiences, and also show that there's somebody that if you seek out, there's somebody that you can talk to about yeah. it as well. And then to give them that ability to experience community mm-hmm. And to equip them with, hey, I know how to talk to somebody new, yeah. You know, and that. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
yeah. Yeah, when I was a summer camp director, some of the things we always kind of said in privately with our leadership is oftentimes our best ministry is to our staff. And, you know, because we have them all summer, mm-hmm. you know, not just a week. We have months to kind of pour into them and to challenge them differently. So I think another thing that I'd like to take a look at, and maybe you can explain here how camp matters, is it's not like at a hotel. Usually where we do camp ministry, it's usually outdoors. And sometimes it's usually rugged outdoors, or we're not, you know, resort style accommodations. It's not a vacation. So why? What do you think, how does that play into why camp matters? Is that you're experiencing nature in a different way?
Well, in my beloved husband's poignant words, we go for rustic, not crappy at
sure.
camp.
Yeah.
And so yeah. the Spartan or simple surroundings help. Well, I think one, it's not so plush that we're drawn inside all the time. So yeah. we're committed to going outside and encountering God and each other outside. Mm-hmm. But it's also we're spending more on the experience and the goal of bringing more and more people to camp mm-hmm. than on making it a resort style facility.
Yeah.
That being said, we still want it to be a livable space oh, for sure. kids yeah. and adults.
Yeah.
I think it is a gift of a lot of our campers come from urban areas
sure.
and to be able to see, sometimes kids don't get to see that much grass in one place,
yeah.
To see creation, to worship in creation.
Yeah.
That is, I think that is a powerful, the power of the campfire. I mean, mm-hmm. that is just,
sure.
you know, mm-hmm. there's something spiritual about a campfire where it allows for conversations to happen. And I think it happens even more when in the pitch black and the stars and the, mm-hmm. that it opens us up to God's surrounding us in that mm-hmm. and allows it. It's just a different feel
mm-hmm.
And experiencing that creation, whether it be the chigger bites or,
sure.
you know, the sunburn or whatever. That's part of nature and you learn. Yeah.
The scent of bug spray.
Yeah. Yeah.
That alluring scent.
You know, as somebody who lives in an urban environment, every time I get a chance to go to camp or to a camp and experience, mm-hmm. wow, you see stars differently and you're experiencing nature differently. Even though you may have trees in your front yard, you may have a lawn mm-hmm. that needs to be mowed. When you're just surrounded by nature and there's not the sound of an 18-wheeler in the background,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think you do open yourself up differently
mm-hmm.
to be touched in a spiritual way by God. And I think that, you know, even Martin Luther would say, like, nature is the second Bible. You know, it's expressing God in creation through nature is such a powerful experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a neat way of, like, we want our cabins to be nice enough, livable, but not so nice that you want to be trapped by your bed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that, because
mm-hmm.
go out there and experience bug bites
yeah.
and mm-hmm. adventure and risk, and those are
mm-hmm.
powerful things that come with camp.
Feel God at work in the chiggers, basically.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, just a couple, a couple months ago, we had some folks come out to the camp that had never been to Luther Hill in particular,
mm-hmm.
and, going out there every day for work, sometimes you forget about the power of just the landscape alone, and
mm-hmm.
then you think of God at work in that.
Sure.
People saying, oh, this is gorgeous, and then go back to even a couple of years ago, we had a group of campers come out from inner city New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to step off the bus, and that was the biggest piece of land that they'd ever experienced. Like, they weren't like, how far can we go? Well, you can go as far as the, you know, and so just you can get caught up in it being your day to day. But when those glimpses of folks
mm-hmm.
that have never experience that, the power of that
sure.
mm-hmm. is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So our summer theme is actually all focused on this gift of wonder that God gives to
mm-hmm.
us, and so being awake to God at work in nature. And so it's all about acknowledging each other lit by the campfire, or seeing God written on the stars, or Martin Luther's gift of seeing scripture unfold in nature and the rolling hills and all those things. And so it's really what we're diving into this summer.
Yeah, that's a beautiful theme, and I love it. I think that's a great place to experience wonder in a special or unique way. And for some kids, maybe the first time to experience wonder that way. Mm-hmm. And it's wonder that doesn't come from that you would get at Disneyland or you would get on a cruise. It's a wonder that in the simpleness of just being surrounded by trees and grass and the sound of crickets in nature is such a powerful experience. And that can't be recreated besides by being in there. So one of the things that I felt too when I was a staff member is the value of kind of the long-term ministry that you get in camp. And sometimes that's a week or a weekend. Usually when we do Sunday school or youth group here, I got them a couple hours at a time, you know, and then they go back to their lives. So creating that new way of thinking or that new pattern is real hard to do in a couple hours. But the benefit of camp is you have days to kind of readjust your brain and your spiritual, you know, mindset. So how do you see that value of like time, that prolonged length of time to experience camp?
I think the one thing when I think of the long time is the counselor that's in that cabin.
Sure.
Most camps are very intentional of having that one person in the cabin the whole week.
Sure, yeah.
There's a beauty to that. There is trust in that. There is rhythm to that. You know, we make sure, one of the things we want to make sure that we do as a large group, as a full camp, is that at throughout the week that we eat together, we worship together, and we play together.
Yeah.
And the building block of that is the cabin group.
Yeah.
And then in that, the conversations that happen during Bible study, the conversations that happen running back and forth to the pool or to the ropes course or whatever, the beauty of having a rhythm of at in the end of every night, we're going to spend time either having a devotion, whether it be highs and lows for the day or chicken soup for the soul store. I don't know what it is sometimes, you know, but the beauty of gathering around and wrapping up the day, that creates a rhythm that you know that subconsciously by Wednesday, you're probably in the back of your mind marking that was really cool at worship and that meant a lot to me. I need to share that with my friends tonight.
Yeah.
Creating that rhythm of that. And then I think the power of young adults serving as we mentioned earlier, as a faith mentor.
Yeah.
And not only the impact that it has on the campers, but the impact that it has, like you were mentioning, you have them for 3 months and to see the impact in their lives, to see Katie sitting here. Katie was on staff 2001,
my first summer. The year you started.
My first summer that where you're establishing those rhythms in life that faith is important, church is important, community is important. You know, kids can give a hard time about, we have to worship twice a day, but it's it creates this feeling So
it instills a healthy rhythm because we do the same thing every day and we do it together. And somehow in the midst of that rhythm, the things that we're doing sink away and we can see God and see others more clearly. And I think that's really one of the gifts. I think the intensive nature of a week at camp is really important. Instead of scattered time across a week you might have with your church group, instead of a full week, 24 hours a day, which might be wonderful and it might be really challenging.
Sure, yes.
But that intensive nature of it, I think, is incredibly formative.
And I'd go to talk about retreats. It's very interesting to when you have a group of adults come.
Yeah.
That Friday, you can tell some of the folks or whatever the first day, oh my gosh, I had to rush home from work. I had to do this. I had to pack up. I had to do this. But by Saturday afternoon, just that time away to, you can leave that at the door.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of, you know, like a lot of retreat leaders, let's just leave that at the door. We'll pick that up on Sunday morning.
Sure.
And it'll be there. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that the power of getting away and that there's not, I mean, their cell phones are still there, of course, but the power of not being in the conference room at your church, having a meeting with your leadership or your women's group that meets or your whatever, but that something happens when you get away together. And whether in like the more intensive throughout a week, but a retreat, it's amazing to see the spirit work in that time. So, yeah.
And I think that gives us maybe a good question here to look at, because typically when we think of camp, we think of children. You know, children mm-hmm. in a camp. We send our kids to summer camp. Right now, you know, we're pushing summer camp into our respective ministries for kids. Mm-hmm. So how do adults come into that space? Because there's usually not like, hey, adults, we have a summer camp for you. Like, that's typically a harder sell. You know, so how do we engage adults into outdoors ministry? Or do you have a summer camp for adults?
We have a family camp. Yes, we have a family camp that you can come out. We have everything. I was just talking with somebody. We have everything from grandparents that bring their grandkids mm-hmm. out to family units to single parents to aunts and uncles that bring. They just bring a collective of that. We always have that the week of July 4th. That's going on. But where I've seen, you know, summer camp is at the heart of what Luther Hill does. And sure. It'll always be at the heart of what we do. But Luther Hill last year, we served over 6,000 folks through all of our programming. And 2,500 of that was through our summer camp program. Mm-hmm. So there's 4,000 other people experiencing, mm-hmm. whether it be your Bible study group, your church council, your group of friends that are in your neighborhood, bringing them out and experiencing. I think sometimes I know I've mentioned it before, but the power, you mentioned it, disruptive of pattern. Mm-hmm. It is amazing when people, where God gets a chance to speak, when it's not just going through the routine of everything.
Yeah.
And that it is very, the separation from the norm, allows new things to happen. And in that, whether you're out there with your family or whatever, it is a ministry, for all ages. Our mission statement is to be a place for all people. Luther Hill welcomes all people of every generation to experience the love of Christ in a unique setting in new ways. Mm-hmm. And I would say with adults, if you have an experience, it is a unique setting, and you will discover new ways that God is at work in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have touched on this, but tell us what's going on at Luther Hill, since we've kind of looked at camp broad terms, but you guys have a very specific camp that you have influence over and that you're guiding and directing. So what's going on in Luther Hill? And if you're not familiar, Luther Hill is in LaGrange, Texas. It's about an hour and 40 minutes from Houston, about an hour from Austin, you know, very, really centrally located in Texas. So what's going on special there?
So we're really excited about some of the new activities that we're launching. We just, in the last summer, raised money to build a slingshot range, which is a silly, fun way to experience nature and each other.
I've used it. It's fun. Right?
Yes. It's delightful. We actually, in December, we also did an indoor slingshot range involving marshmallows and Christmas ornaments, which was absolutely delightful. And then the next big thing that we're doing is doing a full court basketball court and a new sand volleyball court, which in our summer staff's words, does not assault your feet as you play.
Yeah.
And then really just working on investing in those activities, not because we're trying to attract people by those activities, mm-hmm. but because we know that in those shared experiences, we get to learn more about ourselves and God.
Yeah. And we've got some fun retreats coming up this spring. In particular, at the end of January, we have our mother-daughter retreat. And I'll let Jen talk a little bit more about
that. I'm really excited about the mother-daughter retreat because in this theme of wonder, we're taking wonder to being the gift of asking questions. Mm-hmm. And so our mother-daughter pairs or grandparent, aunt, whatever pairs come, mm-hmm. Get to interview each other. And then they'll go home with a DVD of that interview. So it's kind of reminiscent of NPR's StoryCorps, where they ask each other questions about their life growing up, their life and experience now, and then their relationship together. So they'll come out of this with this wonderful wondering DVD of their question and interview time
neat.
Together. So that's a really fun one.
Yeah. And then in February, we're welcoming out the senior high for the Worship Lead Serve retreat. Beginning of March, we'll have our women's forget the name.
Unwind
retreat up there. And then we also have an explore retreat, which is a chance for upper elementary, so second grade through sixth grade, to come out for a full weekend of camp. And if you haven't been, if you have been to camp, you'll get to experience all your favorite camp activities. But it's a wonderful tester as well. If you haven't experienced Luther Hill and what we have to offer in LaGrange, it is, it models what a typical day, Saturday, you get there Friday evening, Saturday and Sunday would model a typical day at camp. So you can kind of experience, get a taste of, if mama's not ready to let baby go for, you know, or the camper's a little bit nervous, it's a wonderful opportunity to experience camp as well. And we also have a spring family retreat coming up. And also we have a second location down on Galveston Island. And so we're getting ready. We're hosting multiple groups down there. It's an 8-bedroom. Each bedroom has a private bath with a meeting space for up to 100. And that's, well, we're welcoming in groups right now from all over the country that are helping with disaster recovery still down after Harvey and helping there. We're getting, we have in March, we'll be having a Good News, Good Brews retreat. So that's a to talk about to brew some beer and talk about the word and just have some fun down there, and we're getting, we'll also have beach camp going on down there this summer. And what's new for that down there this summer, we'll have a senior high week offered during our summer camp. So
very cool.
So, yeah, some exciting stuff. And do you want to talk more about the summer programs?
Well, the other great opportunity that we have is, Matt mentioned, we're not only in LaGrange, not only on Galveston Island, but also in congregations.
Yeah.
And this kind of goes back to what Matt was saying earlier about seeing campers develop into counselors and then go into vocational life. So this summer, Lord of Life had a day camp, and it was really neat to see Laura Cooper and Sarah Finnegan come and work at that day camp because they're children of the congregation. So then to see them come back and lead the day camp too with a former staffer is just a really neat affirmation of what camp can mean. So any congregation can sign up for a day camp, and then we kind of infuse a little camp love and camp life into a congregation for a week. So like what Matt was saying before of fun uncle coming in, shaking them up, and then leaving for you to deal with that sugar crash after.
And I think the biggest thing right now, too, is we are starting to recruit and interview for summer staff. You know, outdoor ministry provides the largest platform for young adults to serve in the church. You know, Luther Hill, we hired last summer, we hired 75 young adults ranging in age from 17 up to 22 years old. And so we're in the middle of recruiting and hiring staff. And so that's a big thing going on right now as well. So,
Yeah, I can definitely say the ministry I do here at Lord of Life is made better by the ministry going on at Luther Hill. Like our kids being engaged there. You mentioned Laura Cooper. I met Laura when she was 14 years old on a mission trip here. And to see her grow through my program, through your program, and to see who the woman she is today is a really beautiful thing. It's a really neat partnership that can happen when congregations and camps really seek to work together for the good of the gospel. It's really, really cool. And I'm excited about the kids that we're going to be sending out there to either be campers, be Lyles, or the youth leadership, to be counselors, to be engaged in those processes. Many Christians will definitely cite time spent at camp as either a camper or a counselor as formative time in their spiritual development, probably more so than any single worship experience they've had in church or Bible study or, you know, these singular experiences that we offer throughout the year. These big events, whether that's camp or mission trip, typically are the times where they point to moments in their life where Christ came at me in a unique way and changed things. And so if you have never been to camp, we highly suggest you try it. And if you say, man, I want to support that, how can they support Luther Hill?
Yes. Oh, that's lutherhill.org/donate. No, the first and foremost, the prayers and this kind of like talking about camp, sharing stories. That's the number one thing that can support Luther Hill. You know, right now, every camper that comes to Luther Hill comes on not the full price of what it costs to have a camper.
Sure.
Our donors, our congregations allow us to not let money be an obstacle to come to camp. Mm-hmm. So those donations help, the monetary donations help with allowing us to keep the price of camp affordable. Mm-hmm. You know, other things that we have coming up, the gift of time. We have 85 acres out at Luther Hill, and we have a facility down at Zion. You can give of your gifts, that your skilled labor. Where if you have a gift that you think could help Luther Hill, mm-hmm. carpentry. If you're really good with a chainsaw, we would love for you to come out to Luther Hill. There's enough stuff. It's a playground out there. Or painting, or whatever. Those gifts in kind help as well. One thing that's happening right now that's getting kicked off here pretty soon is a new capital campaign to update and to add to the facility so we can continue to offer this ministry. The Come to the Table campaign will be kicking off, and this campaign will be helping us build a brand new dining hall. Our dining hall is one of the original buildings right now inside. It used to be an old pump station for the oil. So this facility will be moved up onto the top of the hill, so it's more accessible for folks, and it'll double our capacity. So we will be able to, and sometimes our weeks get so full mm-hmm. that we have to kind of have kids move here and there, but every camper that would come on site would be able to eat in this facility. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing would be allowing us to have rustic, not crappy, more adult and family-friendly facilities. Mm-hmm. So that would add about, we would be able to add 12 to 24 bedrooms that will be multiple configured, but with their private baths to give some more creature comforts so that more people can come out and experience that. So that's kind of where we're headed towards that. And moving that way, it's an exciting time for Luther Hill. Mm-hmm. And then also down at Zion, was a wonderful gift, and that continues to grow. You know, like I said, last year, Zion welcomed groups from 10 different states. Mm-hmm. To be able to be a part of that. But the biggest thing, to talk about Luther Hill, you know, in the support allows us to continue to live into our mission.
Yeah. I'd say it's the same as our call in faith and ministry. The gospel is such good news that we can't help but share mm-hmm. it with others. We want you to experience camp and experience it in such a positive way that you can't help but share it with others. Mm-hmm. That's how we feel about it. That's how we've been called to this ministry. And it's what we get to do with our lives.
Yeah. We're very, the staff at Luther Hill right now are very blessed to be shepherding this ministry right now. And I truly believe that's the way our staff looks at it, is this is a ministry that started in 1954, that's going to be here 100, 200 years after. Yeah. But we have the wonderful, unique opportunity right now to be shepherding this ministry and shaping it, and to be interacting with the people who love and get to be a part of it, the Friends of Luther Hill. That's my favorite thing about, is just meeting the different people mm-hmm. and how the different ties that they have to the ministry. That keeps me going. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, normally we offer a recommendation to our listeners, things that we're engaging in, and we would love to see if you guys have a recommendation to our listeners for to help them engage differently or better in camp ministry or just life in general.
I think what we recommended before, definitely experiencing camp. So going to lutherhill.org and finding a retreat or a week of summer camp mm-hmm. that you can come out and hang out with us. But then also we talked a little bit about our summer theme and two things that we're playing with on our summer theme of wonder. One is a Rob Bell video that you can pick up on YouTube that's called Wonder. And it's just a
Rediscovering Wonder.
And it's just a great way to kind of expand your imagination mm-hmm. and thinking about God in the world. And then the other is a book called Dangerous Wonder by Michael Iaconelli. And it's just a really fun way to think of faith not being tame and inside the walls of a church, but being dangerously wonderful out in the world.
Yeah, that's a good book. Yeah.
And I would invite two websites to check out. One website being lomnetwork.org, which is the network of ELCA-affiliated camps mm-hmm. around the nation. There's 122 ELCA-affiliated camps around the country that offer multiple different things.
Yeah.
I know the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has a network, the Episcopalian there. So looking where outdoor ministry is a general. I just want to uplift outdoor ministry as sure. in general. And then the other is sacredplaygrounds.com. Sacredplaygrounds.com is the work of Reverend Jacob Sorensen, and he is taking a look at what camp means across ecumenical and what the where camp's going, and some fun stats and some fun things to look at and go from there. So those are two things that I would two web pages to look at. So
Jacob's work is really important too, because it takes what we the anecdotal evidence of the warm fuzzies of camp and puts it into concrete facts and the statistics that Matt mentioned. So he says that camp is phenomenal because it's faith-centered, it's a safe space, it's participatory, you're unplugged from home, and it's relational.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the combination of those things make camp what it is, and helps us experience God in that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for giving time out of your lives, mm-hmm. out of the hectic camp schedule, to come and talk with us and for our listeners. And thanks for giving resources if they're not living in Texas and like, oh man, Luther Hill sounds awesome, but it's just not really feasible. That there are camps in your area to check out that website to say, like, where can you be plugged in, engaged with, and help support in your own area.
And I just want to say thank you for continuing the mission of Luther Hill. And that is going forward, and it's on a good track, and I'm just excited. Yeah. As a former camper and then a counselor, and last year I sent my own baby to the same camp. I mean, just it's just all come full circle. So thank you for your ministry.
Yeah, well, we appreciate your partnership. So thank you all so much.
All right.
All right, we hope you loved that interview with Matt and Jen. We're thrilled that they were able to join us and share some of their experiences. If you haven't had a chance, be sure to check out your local camping ministry. If you're here in Texas, Luther Hill and Lone Star are both great options. I know there are some other ones in Texas as well, but there are great camps all across the country. And so whether you're an adult with kids or a kid yourself or a college student who's looking to go and maybe do something for a summer, camp is a great way to experience faith in a new and exciting way, and we hope that you'll take that opportunity. So for now, that's all for us from here at Beyond Sunday. Be sure you can check out our website, beyondsundaypodcast.com. We'll have links to some of the recommendations that Matt and Jen made available on our website. You can also check us out on Instagram at beyond_Sunday. That's it from all of us, unless either of you have anything else today.
I don't.
We don't. All right. Have a great week.
Yeah, see you next Monday.
Woo! Yes.